This is Daf Mem Gimel. So the Gemara had been talking about Tchum with regards to a boat, with regards to a Svina. And the Gemara had last discussed two different reasons why one would be able to carry on a Svina, wouldn't be a violation of Tchum. There's a pin of Rabbah that it was since Hol v'Shavas be'avir mechitas mebod yom, since a person had he had planted himself there before Shabbos and it was fully enclosed, so that serves to keep him within the area. And Rabbi Zera felt, because since every time you pick up your foot, the Svina's notelas mitchilas arba umanachto besov arba takes you for amos before you could put your foot down. So in essence, it's a situation that forces you out of a tchum, and that was the understanding of Rabbi Zera. So two different reasons how the tchum exactly works of the boat, but the Gemara ends up saying on the very top of Mem Gimel, the Gemara says that two lines down, Amar, bimhalechas kuyama lo pligi. When it comes to a moving boat, no one argues, everybody agrees there's a heter to be considered within the tchum, either because you had the mechitas from before Shabbos, or because since it's moving, it always takes you, it forces you out of the tchum, like the nachim would force you out of the tchum. So that's everyone agrees to. But ki pligi bishamda, the machlok is when the boat is stationary, so that's a debate whether or not a person is, can he move around within that boat, or he's stuck within his dalat amos. So the Gemara now just brings two proofs how we know that this is really in fact true, that when it comes to mehalech, as a boat that's walking, everybody agrees that you're allowed to go beyond the dalat amos. So what are the two proofs? So Gemara says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak masnis nami deka. The Mishnah is very precise in showing this point, that when it comes to a moving boat, there is no machlokas. Everyone agrees you have the entire boat to move around. Mimai, how do you know? Midikatani maisa shibo mipal dirasin. When they had the maisa that they came from the city, vifliga svinasim bayam, and the boat was moving in the water. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, halchu as kula. They were able to walk the entire boat. They felt it was mutter to carry within walk rather within the boat. And Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, lo zazu mi'arba amos, they did not carry beyond, or move rather, beyond four amos, shiratzu lahachmir alasman. They wanted to be machmir on themselves. So the language of lahachmir is what the Gemara is focusing on. Now, i'amis, if you're going to say bishlama bimahalechas, it makes sense that when the boat is moving, lo pligi, there's not really a machlokas, everybody agrees, bishmahalechas, you're allowed to carry within the entire boat. Hainu dekatani. That's why the Mishnah uses the phrase ratu dilma amda. They wanted to be machmir. Not that they had to be machmir. They could have really carried the entire boat if they wanted to. They wanted to be machmir. Why were they machmir? Because if the boat were to stop dilma amda, so then it would be usr. So it was a chumra because there's mahalechas. But really, there's no fundamental machlokas when it's moving. They agree when it's moving, you're allowed to walk the whole boat. Ella, but if you say iyamis pligi, if they're arguing even in a case of mahalechas, Hi, ratzu lahachmir isuruhu. It shouldn't be that they wanted to be machmir themselves. It should have said that it's usur to carry in the boat, even when mehalechas. So therefore, it must be that when it's mehalechas, when the boat is moving, everybody is in agreement that fundamentally, at least, you're allowed to move and walk around the entire boat. There's only a debate here whether there's a room for any chumrah of a gezera dilma amda. So that's the first proof in the Mishnah that again, mehalechas is everyone agrees is mutter. So then the Gemara brings a second raya, Amar of Ashi Masnisin Nami Deka Dikatani. It says in the Mishnah, Svina Dumya the deer of Sohar, that the Mishnah has coupled together the boat with the deer in Sohar, a pen of some sort, a fenced-in area. So Ma deer of Sohar, the Kvi, just like a deer of Sohar, certainly stationary. They're talking about areas on the ground. So Af Svina Nami Dekvi, must be that the debate is when the boat is stationary. But if the boat is mehalech is moving, then there is no such debate. So Gemara now says, in conclusion, how do you pass him with regards to the boat and the various areas? So Gemara says, Amar le Rav Acha Brei de Rava, the Rav Ashi. He ended up saying the Psak is Hilchasa Kurab and Gamliel Bisvina, that once the boat, you're allowed to carry within the entire boat, rather, I keep saying carrying, walk. You can walk the entire length and width of the boat, you're allowed to do that. The Gemara says, Hilchasa Michal de Pliki. So since it says hilchos, we're passing like one man damar, that implies that there's a machlokas, that someone else argues. So the Gemara says, it's true, you're right, someone does argue. There is an opinion that argues on this. Vatani, the Braisa, not a question, but Vatani is coming as a proof. Chananya, Omer, Kol Osu Hayom, that day, Yashu Vidanu B'davar Halacha, they were in a boat and they were busy learning this particular question. Emes Hichriya Achi Abba, by the evening, my father's brother, my uncle, that Rabbi Yeshua Halacha Krim Gamliel, he passed on Rabbi Gamliel Besvina, for Halacha could be Akiva Bedir Vesohar, that although by a Svina we allow you to walk the entire length of the boat, like Rabbi Gamliel, when it came to a deer v'sahar, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, that you only had the dal amos. So that's how we paskin halacha l'maisa. So that ends the whole discussion about the svina and the deer and the sahar. Now the Gemara is going to go to an interesting discussion. I really should have brought this up in my shir yesterday. I spoke about Kiddush Levana between Mincha Marav. Again, it was off the cuff, but this would have been a great connection. Because, as we'll see in just a second, the Gemara asks the following shaila. We've been talking about tchum. Walking outside tchum is a violation. But the Gemara now wants to know, by Rav Chananya, yesh tchum lemala me'asara, o ein tchumim lemala me'asara. Do we say tchum extends itself even above 10 tefachim or not? What does that mean? So let's say you have 2,000 amos, you walked horizontally. And now, any step further is a violation of tchum. But let's say, beyond the tchum, you could fly somehow. We'll see examples. 3.5 kaminas in just a moment. But you could go above 10 tzvachim, rather. So maybe there's no tchum. You could fly above 10 tzvachim, even though it's moving 2,000 amos in that direction, but you're above the 10 tzvachim of tchum. Is that really a violation? So Gemara is going to clarify this question and hopefully bring it home a little bit clearer. So the Gemara again asks, Bayi Rav Chananya, yesh tchumim lemala me'asara? O ein tchumim lemal me'asara. Amud gavoa asara. If you have at the very end of the tchum, there's a pillar that's 10 tfachim high, v'rochav arba, and it's 4 by 4 tfachim. Lo tibaylach, that was never a shaila, de'ara smichasahi, that's considered just a very thick ground. That's how the Gemara defined a thick ground. It's a little hump. And since it's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, that's considered something very usable by Rishis Rabbim, and that would be considered an extension of the land. And if one were to walk onto that pillar, he would violate tchum. So that wasn't the case where it was an even flow from the area. That's certainly usher. That's considered stepping outside the tchum in an isser. When they had the question was ba'amud gavoa asar ve'ein rachav arba. If it's a pillar at the end of the chum, it's a 10 tefachim high pillar, but it's not 4 by 4 tefachim, so it's not very usable by people. And a person decides to jump on top of that pillar, but he steps outside the tchum in doing so, that was the shaila. Is there a violation since he's above 10 tefachim? Maybe that's not a violation of going outside the 2,000 amos tchum. Or alternatively, the Gemara says, inami dekazel bekvitza. He uses kvitza. What's kvitza mean? Very interesting. Rashi says bekvitza, around 10 lines up from the bottom, b'shem. He uses shem Hashem to fly. So he's above 10 tefachim. Is that considered a violation of tchum? He's above 10 tefachim, and he flies more than 2,000 amos wherever, east, west. Is that a violation? Now, before we go ahead, there is an interesting discussion because Rav Yaakov Emden points out, isn't it usur to use Shem Hashem? How is that even a possibility? Forgetting knowing how to do it. Let's say you know how to use Shem Hashem. It's an isur to use Shem Hashem. And the Gemara says in the Maseches Avos, HaMeshtamish B'Shem Mefarosh, Ein Lo Chelek Liyom Haba. So how could they even entertain such a possibility? And there's an interesting set of svarim, Shelos and Chuvos, from called Min HaShemayim, one of the Bali Tosvos. He used to go to sleep at night, he'd have a shaila, he'd go to sleep and wake up with an answer in the morning, and one of the questions he had asked, he writes down, is, are you allowed to use Shem Hashem? And the response he got in the morning was that, no, it's also to use Shem Hashem. So how could they even entertain such a possibility? Some Acharim say that you are allowed to use Shem Hashem if it's for Pikuach Nefesh purposes. So whether he should be doing this or not doing this, but somehow the guy used Shem Hashem, and he went beyond 2,000 amos, but he was flying up in the air, is that considered a violation? Now another point they raise from Rashi here as well, Rashi says if you violate Tchum through Shem Hashem, there would be an Isser involved. So what if a person does a Malacha through Shem Hashem? Have you violated a Malacha? Is that called a Malacha? I wasn't a Vashel the soup. I said Shem Hashem, and I created a cooked soup. Is that a violation? So some Achorim learned from this Rashi that violating a Malacha through Shem Hashem would in fact be a issue of violating Malacha on Shabbos, just like it's possibly a violation of Tchum on Shabbos as well.
Here it says also somebody's a Gibor and can jump.
So that's a simpler way, right?
But let's say the Tchum ends in a place, and then let's say 10 amos later or 20 amos later there is a private house. Then he can jump.
I'm not sure. That's a trickier case now. Let's do it straight right now. Fine. So the Gemara says, let's get to this point. So the Gemara then says that, okay, so either it's a situation where there's a pillar at the end which is not so usable, or because he jumped, so he flew. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Lishna Achrina Bisvina, he's on a boat, and the boat is seemingly 10 tefachim above the ground. So is going on a Svina, going on a boat, is that considered a violation of Tchum since you are above 10 tefachim? So these are three different scenarios whether tchum is above 10 tefachim. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up yesterday during the shir is because they talked about whether or not you could say Kirish Levana on Shabbos or Yontif. And one of the reasons why some say you can't say Kirish Levana on Shabbos or Yontif is because you're going outside the Tchum. We're about to see this discussion about going Lamal Me'asar Tvachim. Is that considered going above the Tchum? So some say it's we paskin, it's not so clear, but some say we paskin that it is a violation of Tchum, and being saying the bracha Kirish Levana is somehow being Mekabel Pnei Shechina. You are going above 10 Tvachim outside the Tchum, which is a big chiddush to say this, but some Rishonim actually say this point. It's brought down by their mother. One should not say Kirish Levana on Shabbos. The Shaar Tzion says another reason why one should not say Kirish Levana on Shabbos, because usually we dance Kirish Levana, and according to the halacha, you should not be dancing on Shabbos. There certainly are heterim for doing so, but that's the Shaar Tzion's understanding, and the Ramami Pano explains why you can't say Kirish Levana on Shabbos is because Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Now, his assumption is that there's Simcha on Shabbos. That itself is an interesting discussion in Halacha, but this is why it's relevant for Kirish Levana. Either way, this is the Shaila. When we talk about Tchum, is Tchum, does it go even above 10 Tfachim, or does it not in these three scenarios we just laid out? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Hoshaya Tashma. Ma'isa Shebo Mipal Drasun, they came from the city, V'fliga Svinasim Bayam, and the boat ended up going in the water. So the continuation of that Mishnah was that there's a debate whether or not you could walk in the rest of the boat or not walk in the rest of the boat. So the Gemara says, Iyamis, if you say Bishma Yesh Tchumim Mishim Ha'achi Ratsu, that there is Tchum above, so that's why they want to be Machmir, because there's Tchum above Ten Tvachim, that's why they wouldn't walk in the boat, according to some of them. El Iyamis, Einet Tchumim Amai Ratsu. If you hold that there's no Tchum above Ten Tvachim, seemingly this boat was 10 tvachim above the ground level, so there's no tchum to speak of, so why is there any room for v'chumra if there's no tchum above 10 tvachim? Must be that there is tchum even above 10 tvachim. And the Gemara says, no, kedama rava b'mahaleches v'rakak, hachanami b'mahaleches v'rakak, where it's going in an area that's a very shallow area where the boat was actually within 10 tvachim the ground, and that's why it was subject to tchum. But in a hachanami, had it been above 10 tvachim from the ground, it would not be subject to any issue of tchum. That's the first raya.
Isn't the
scene of Carmel? Who said Carmel is related to Tchum at all? When I go to talk about Tchum, it could be anything. There's no question. Tchum, that's Carmelis has to do with carrying. Walking has nothing to do with Carmelis. So then the Gemara says, Toshma. Pam achas, one time, lo nichnesu lenamil at shechashecha, they didn't make it to the port until dark. And Rabbi Gamliel says, don't worry about it, I already had seen from my little telescope or whatever he used, I was able to see the boat, the port, and I had it in mind, it was part of our tchum. So Gemara says, Iyam, it makes sense, Blishma Yesh Tchumim Shapir. If you say that the boat was 10 tvachim above the ground, so there's tchum, and there is tchum above 10 tvachim, that's why he needed to say, I had my das to include this within the tchum. If you say there's no tchum above 10 tvachim, and the boat was 10 tvachim above the ground, kilo, even without, he's within the tchum. There's no tchum issues above 10 tvachim. So my havi, and the Gemara answers, no, amarava b'maleches b'rakak. It's referring to where it was very shallow. So since it was within 10 tvachim on the ground, it is subject to the halachas of tchum, and only because Rabbi Gamliel was able to see the port, and he had it in mind as part of the tchum, did it work. But in a chanami, had it been above 10 tvachim from the ground, it would not be subject to the restrictions of tchum. So Gemara now says, last five, no, if there's no tchum, then there's no issues here at all.
No, on the contrary. Because he said that they wanted to get off the boat. And they said that you're able to get off the boat because before Shabbos, you're really within the tchum.
No, but there's no tchum. You have to, there's nothing, no issues. If you're above tchum.
Then they can't get out.
Then they could get out. Nothing works then, no?
Yeah.
I thought nothing would work then at that point.
Meaning they won't be able to... Meaning that the boat would have been coming...
No, according to the Mesifta, it's not what you're saying.
Sorry.
Okay, could be there's another shot here. But I think Pajab Shah is what I'm saying is that if you're above 10 Tvachim, there's nothing to speak of. You could fly as far as you want above 10 Tvachim. There's no limitation. But only within the 10 Tvachim, you have to even speak about the port being there.
Okay.
So then the Gemara says, Toshma, last five lines of the page here. Hanei Shev Shmaisa. These Shev Shmaisa is a reference to a sugya in Maseches Chulin. The Gemara that talks about Shev Shmaisa, we knew that it was a famous sefer, but it's really based on a sugya about different trefos, the third parak of Achulin, the Eil trefos. So Shev Shmaisa, there's seven different trefos that the Gemara discusses there. So Shev Shmaisa, the Gemara explains, Disamrin b'tzafra b'shabasa, that were taught on the Shabbos morning, Kameh de Rav Chista b'sura. It was taught to Rav Chista by someone, we'll see who taught this in just a second, who was the Magid Shir, we'll learn about this in just a second. He taught this in Surah Rav Chisda. In the afternoon, whoever was a Magadshir made his way Kame Dirava, the Pumbedisa, traveled to Pumbedisa. Now, Pumbedisa and Surah were cities that were certainly beyond the Tchum of each other. So who was able to say once in the morning, once afternoon, in two very far cities? Siman Amrinu, who said this? Lav Eliyahu Amrinu, Alma Ein Tchumim Lamala Mesara. Eliyahu flies. He flies. So, if he walked on the ground, he'd be violating Tchum. It must be Eliyahu flew on his magic carpet or whatever he flew, and he went from the morning in Surah to the afternoon in Pumbedisa, and there's no violation of Tchum. Eliyahu HaNavi certainly keeps the halacha, so therefore we see there's no Tchum above 10 Tvachim. The Gemara says, Lo, Dilma Yosef Shida Amrinu, and Rashi says here, Yosef Shida, some that beshade, Delo Mintar Shabasa, he did not keep Shabbos, so therefore he violated it. He was a Tam Chacham, he's a shade, whatever that means. There's no violation of no violation at all of Tchum. Now, a few interesting things come out of here. Number one is, in terms of Eliyahu Navi, the Maariv Tzachias asks in several places, whenever Eliyahu comes up, how do you rely on Eliyahu? If Eliyahu initially, we thought, was teaching the Shev Shemaisa, so we have a halacha, you can't learn Lo B'Shemaimi. Eliyahu Navi is B'Shemaim, he's a Malach, a Navi of some sort, so how can you paskin based on what Eliyahu had taught us? How is that allowed? So the way the Maariv Tzachias, what he answers, he says, it depends in what way he's teaching. If Eliyahu is teaching you B'taras Nevua, then in Nechanami, we can't rely on that halacha. But if Eliyahu teaches us B'taras Chacham, he says, I learned this halacha, not because of Nevua, because I learned the halacha, so then you can accept him. The Chassam Tover says something similar. He says, not in which way he taught it, but in which form does Eliyahu present himself. Sometimes Eliyahu presents himself as a Navi, a Malach of some sort, and sometimes he presents himself as an Ish, as a person. So if Eliyahu comes in the form as a Malach, so then we can't trust him. If Eliyahu appears in the form of a person, so then a person can, in fact, trust in what he says. So now, there are other interesting questions. The Chassam Tover talks about, if there is an Isser of Tchum above 10 Tvachim, how could Eliyahu Navi come to every single bris that takes place on Shabbos? How is that allowed? And he says, since every bris must have Eliyahu Navi present, so Eliyahu Navi is allowed to violate, if you were to say that there's an Isser of Tchum, he can violate Tchum since it's necessary for him to be present in order for the bris to go through. And one final point before we go weiter, the Rashi clearly indicates that Shadim do not keep mitzvahs. The Or Zeruah argues and quotes from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid that Shadim do, in fact, keep mitzvahs. And the Pshat here in the Gemara, he says there's somehow the Shadim were able to communicate. There were two Shadim, one in Surah, one in Pumbedisa. They were able to communicate to each other, but they were not actually traveling, because even Shadim, according to the Or Zeruah, do, in fact, keep the mitzvahs. Either way, we're still back on the question here, whether or not there's tchum above 10 tvachim or not. So Gemara says, last line here, and I'm an alf, tashma, hareini nazir, b'yom, sheben David ba. A person says, I want to be a nazir, the day, ben David, the day Mashiach comes. Mutter lishos yain, b'shebasos of Yom Tov. A person's allowed to drink on Shabbos, he's allowed to drink on Yontif. V'asa, however, he's prohibited from drinking the lishos yain, called imosachol, but any day of the week, it's Aser, because Eliyahu Navi could come, or Shiach rather, Ben David could come any single day, but he can't come on Shabbos. So Gemara now tries to analyze, why can't Mashiach come on Shabbos? So Iyamis, if you say, Bishlema Yesh Tchumim, that there is Tchum even above 10 Tvachim, Hainu de B'Shabbosos of Yaman Tovim Mutter, that's why, since Mashiach can't travel from wherever Mashiach comes from, he's going to need to travel from above, it seems, or from afar, but flying. So since Mashiach can't go above 10 Tvachim, there's a violation of Tchum, he can't come on Shabbos. And that's why the Nazir could become a Nazir on Shabbos and still drink wine, his Nazirus won't be Chal on Shabbos and Yantiv, because Mashiach can't come. If you say, Ein Tchumim Shabbosos V'yom Tovim, there is no violation of Tchum L'mal Me'asara on Shabbos or Yantiv, my Mutter. So why is the Nazir allowed to? Maybe the Nazir is going to be a Nazir today, because Mashiach can come on Shabbos, because there's no issue of a Tchum above 10. So Gemara says, no. Shiny Hasim, over there it's different. Really, there is no violation of Tchum above 10 Tvachim, and really Mashiach can come on Shabbos mitzad Tchum. But there's a different reason why Mashiach can come on a Shabbos, and that's because Damar Kar, the Pasuk, tells us, Hinei Anochi Shulech Lachem Es Eliyahu Navi, that he's going to send Eliyahu Navi to announce the coming of Mashiach. Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadav HaNora, he's going to announce the arrival of Mashiach. V'halo Asu Eliyahu Mesmo. So since you know Eliyahu didn't come Erev Shabbos, you didn't hear about the announcement, must be on Shabbos, Mashiach can come. So that's why the Nazir is allowed to drink wine on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, that's the case. V'chol koyom yom nami lishri. So any single day. If it's Tuesday, if I didn't hear the announcement on Monday, so that means Eliyahu didn't come, that means Mashiach isn't coming today on Tuesday. So the Gemara says, Imkein, again, Ihachi, v'chol yom v'yom nami lishari. D'ha lo asa Eliyahu mi'esma, because Eliyahu didn't come yesterday. I didn't hear any announcement. Ella, Amina lebezna gadol asa. No, it's possible Eliyahu came on Monday. He told Bezna Gadol. Bezna Gadol, for whatever reason, didn't make the announcement, so maybe he did come. So that's why on Tuesday I shouldn't drink wine. So Gemara says, Asa, Hachanami, Leimel Bezna Gadol, Asa. Same thing by Shabbos. Maybe Taki Eliel came on Erev Shabbos. He went to Bezna Gadol, but didn't tell any of us yet, so maybe Eliel did come, and Mashiach should be coming today on Shabbos. Gemara says, no, a different reason why Eliel Navi can't come on Erev Shabbos, which would then mean that Mashiach can't come on Shabbos. Because Kvar Muftach Lehen LeYisrael, we already have a promise. She'ein Eliyahu ba lo ba'arei Shabbosos lo ba'arei Yom Tovim b'pnei Tareach. The idea is that Eliyahu will not come and disturb our preparation of Shabbos and Yom Tov preparations. So he's not going to come on a Friday or any Erev Yom Tov. So since we know he won't come on an Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yom Tov, that means Mashiach won't come on Shabbos itself or on Yom Tov itself, and therefore, it's no concern. Now there is a question here, actually, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah indicates that Pesach, Yigalu, we're going to be redeemed on Pesach, which is a Yantif. So how can Mashiach come on Yantif? The Gemara here says he won't come on Yantif. So if I recall, the Tur Evin gives a couple of answers. Number one is he says, when the Gemara says that Mashiach would come in Pesach, it doesn't mean Dafka on Yantif. It means in the area of Pesach, a little bit before, a little bit after, sometime in Chodesh Nisan. That's one explanation. The Tur Evin makes another suggestion. It depends why he comes. There are two ways the Gemara says it's going to Mashiach could come. Bito or Bachishena. Be'ito b'chishena. Be'ito, in terms of be'ito, the right time, if it comes, time has expired, so then Mashiach won't come on the Pesach, it's going to come whenever he's destined to come. But if we b'chishena, if we do the right thing, and we're zocha to Mashiach to come, so then Mashiach actually comes. It's a beautiful, actually, I think the Nesivus writes, and the end of the Nesivus is pshat on in the Shulchan Aruch. At the end he says, if a Mashiach comes because we deserve it, he's going to circumvent Eliyahu's coming. He doesn't need Eliyahu's announcement. He's going to jump over mountains and valleys to get here as soon as possible. And he'll even come in Yom Tov, even though Eliyahu never made his announcement. So that can even take place in Yom Tov. That's what the Gemara means in Rosh Hashanah. But here the Gemara is talking about, no, when he doesn't come b'chishena, he comes b'ita. It's b'ita, there's a certain structure, there's a certain seder. Eliyahu must first make the announcement. Well, since he won't make the announcement on Friday, that means Mashiach won't come on Shabbos or Yom Tov either. So Gemara says, either way, kesaka daitech, the havamina here is, midil Eliyahu lo asa, Mashiach nami lo asa. If Eliyahu didn't come, that means Mashiach won't come either. So the Gemara then says, b'mala shabasa lishare Eliyahu, lo as Mashiach. So 1 second, has it read the question one more time here? Okay, kal kesaka daitech midi Eliyahu lo asa, Mashiach nami lo asa. So b'mala shabasa lishari. So then we should allow Erev Shabbos to work as well. You should be able to drink wine because we know that if Mashiach won't come on Erev Shabbos, Eliyahu, because I guess also it would create some level of tircha as well. So Gemara says no, Eliyahu lo asa. He won't come on Erev Shabbos because that creates a tircha. But Mashiach asa, Mashiach will come on Erev Shabbos. That's not going to create tircha. What do you mean? Why not? Mashiach comes, we're all going to drop everything and run to Mashiach. And there's no time to prepare the food. Gemara says, no, when Mashiach comes, the chayven to us in Mashiach, ha'kol avadim hein liyisrael. Every non-Jew will be our slaves, and they'll do the work for us. They'll cook for us, they'll prepare everything for us, so we can celebrate the arrival of Mashiach, and it won't impact any of the Suda. That's if Mashiach were to come on Friday, so Mashiach can come on Friday. So then the Gemara says, b'chad b'shaba l'shri. So why don't we say Sunday is allowed, because we know Mashiach can't come on Sunday, because if he were to come on Sunday, that means that Eliyahu came on Shabbos. So the fact that we say that Mashiach can come on Sunday implies Eliyahu can come on Shabbos, and we can answer the question now, Lifsho mina de'ein tchumim. There is no tchum above 10 tvachim, because de'i yesh tchumim. If there were to be 10 tvachim, tchum above 10 tvachim, so then Eliyahu couldn't come on Shabbos, and then b'chabes Shabbosah, then we shouldn't allow for Chab Shabbos or Lishri the Lasa Eliyahu b'Shabbos. How do we allow Sunday to be Mutter for the Nazir? That if Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, must be Eliyahu can come on Shabbos, and therefore Mashiach can come on Sunday to prove to the point that there is no Tchum above 10 Tfachim. So Gemara says, not true. Just because we said the Nazir has to be Asir to drink on a Sunday, doesn't mean that we paskin for sure that there's no Tchum above 10 Tfachim. The Gemara says, Hai Tana Svuke Misafkele. This Tana, who had this whole discussion of when Eliyahu Mashiach comes, wasn't sure how he paskin Iyesh Tchumim O Ein Tchumim. He wasn't sure how he paskin, and therefore Lachomer, he was Machmir to say that maybe you know there is a Tchum on Shabbos, maybe there's no Tchum on Shabbos, and therefore it's not so clear. We can't prove it, just a Suffolk with this particular Gemara, and therefore we said you should be Machmir that a Nazir should not drink on a Sunday. In case we paskin that there's no tchum on Shabbos, which case Eliyahu can come on Shabbos, Mashiach will come on Sunday, so this Nazir should not drink on Sunday. Okay, that's the discussion. Now the Gemara just wants to fit in some point here that didn't seem to make sense. When a Nazir becomes a Nazir, once he's a Nazir, he can't drink on any day. He can't drink on any Shabbos. If he's a Nazir on Monday, so what the Brisa says, it sounds like the Nazir could drink on, he can't drink Sunday through Friday, and then Shabbos, he can drink. No, once it becomes a Nazir, you can't drink any time until the Nazir is over. So Gemara says, Dekai Emas. Now this Nazir, what exactly was the context in which he was standing and saying this for, the Nadir? When did he make this Nadir? Where was he? Ilema, Dekai Bechol, if he was on the Monday, a day of the week, and he says, I want to be a Nazir, well, Kevin the Chalaleh Naziris, once he's a Nazir on Monday, Heichi Asir Shabbasa Umafkile, how does Shabbos come in? We could say, oh, the Nazir could drink every Shabbos. Every seventh day he could drink? That doesn't make sense. Ella the kai b'Shabbos, so it must be where the nazir, the person took nazirus on Shabbos, the kanadar, and he made a nadir. If Mashiach comes, I want to be a nazir the day Ben David comes. Or it's a yomtiv, and he says I want to be a nazir the day Ben David could come, the kanadir. So the din is vahu yom that particular day Shabbos, that particular day yomtiv. Since we know Mashiach can't come on Shabbos, he can't come on yomtiv. Shari lei, he's permitted to drink the rest of that Shabbos, the rest of that yomtiv. However, mikan ve'elech, from that point on, every other Shabbos thereafter and yomtiv would be aser lei because he's already a nazir. Okay. No, he made a nazir. He wanted to make a nazir on the day the Mashiach comes. That was his statement that he said. My Naziris is Chal, the day that Ben David will come. Now, any day could possibly be the day that Ben David comes, except for Shabbos or Yantif. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Pam achas lo nichnesu lanamel. They didn't make it to the port, and Rabbi Gamliel pulled out his telescope and was able to see the port, and it was included within the Tchum. So Gemara comments, Tana, Shoferes ha'isalo, the Rabbi Gamliel, he had this little tube, this little telescope, and Shehaya Mabit Vitsofa Bo Alpaim Amma, but Yabasha had the ability to see a distance of 2,000 Amos both on the Yabasha and Kenegda Alpaim Bayam, and also 2,000 Amos far within the water. So the case was that he had this special 2,000 Amos telescope, and he was able to see that since he saw the port, he knew that for sure was within 2,000 Amos of the boat, and that's why it was included within the Tchum. Gemara now comments further. Harot Leida Kama Omkel Shel Guy, a person wants to know the depth of a certain valley. Maybe Shvelferes Imabiba, he should take a certain type of telescope and be able to look at the distance. And Yeda Kama Omkel Shel Guy, you'll be able to see how deep it is. Now, it's very unclear what that means exactly. So, the way Rashi interprets this is just like Gamliel had a 2,000 Amos distance Shvelferes. So, if you have a telescope that sees, I don't know, 100 Amos, 200 Amos, if you know the measurement of that Shvelferes, and you could see the bottom of the valley, that will tell you the distance of that valley. It's not that any telescope will work. You have to know the distance in which the telescope could help you see. So then the Gemara says a little bit of a math here. Harotze leida kama gova shel deka. A person wants to know how tall a tree is. Now, it's hard to measure a tree. You have to go all the way up there. It's very high. So what do? Modid komaso, you measure your height. So you're 6 feet tall, let's say. Vitzilo, and you measure your shade. So now you have a ratio of your height to the horizontal of the triangle of your height and the horizontal, then you have the diagonal of the end of the shade. Betil kamaso, so you end up measuring your height, you measure the shade of the tree, the shade of yourself, and now you have the ratio how tall you are relative to your shade. So now you have the shade of the tree. We can measure the shade of the tree that's on the ground. This you plug in the ratio, you can figure out now backwards how tall the tree is. So again, modid kamaso vitzilo, you measure your height and your shade, and then vitzil kamaso, then you measure the shade of the tree, and then you can figure out backwards using some geometry, yeda kama gova shadeka, you can figure out the height of the tree. So then the Gemara says, Harot says, Shelo Tishra Chai Rab. It's still a person wants to make sure that an animal, a wild animal, doesn't sit in the shade of a kever. You built a kever, it would be a bizayon to have animals to go and rest within the shade. If it got sunny out, so you want to avoid, you don't want to construct a kever whereby animals are going to take refuge by the shade of the kever. So what should you do? So the Gemara says, another Eitzah, just an Eitzah of using mathematics. Noetz kana ba'arba shells b'yom. What you should do is you should play some type of L-shaped stick, and you should place it in the fourth hour of the day where the heat is very, very strong, and it creates shade as well. Because in the middle of the day where it's hottest, there's no shade, the sun's at the top. So you need to get a point where there's a fourth hour of the day where the sun's at an angle where there's heat, but there's shade as well. So you want to know that angle, which shade will come in the fourth hour of the day. And again, kana ba'arba shells b'yom. V'yira lehechan tzilo, and you watch with that little stick standing up how the shade is going to produce the direction of the shade, that angle of the shade, and note that. And then you should construct your kever, mashpia v'ola, mashpia v'yorid. So you don't make the kever where it's a box. You should make the kever where there's a little slant. So if you know the sun's going to come that direction, so the slant there, the sun's going to go right down the top, and it'll produce almost no shade, not allowing any room for an animal to take refuge, and that would be the Eitz HaTov in order to avoid that. Okay, we'll stop here, because the next piece goes deep into the next daf, and we'll continue Mirat Hashem tomorrow after the 6:20 minute. Yeah, sure, for sure. I had a different shot there.